It's Tuesday the 14th of March. My name is Nick Treby and I'm going to be running this year's London Marathon, which takes place on April 16th. And this is going to be an audio diary of some of my training. As I'm going to be running it, really the people who run it are the guys who go at the front and run quite quick. I'm more likely to be plodding it. I'm the sort of guy that when you get in, or you're watching it over lunchtime, David Coleman starts talking about fun runners. Now, if he'd run 26 miles, he'd realise and have some idea that it's not a lot of fun all the time.
This year marks the 20th running of the London Marathon, and it promises to be one of the biggest and best sporting events in the UK. Amateur or fun runners will collectively raise around £16 million for thousands of different charities. We'll hear more from Nick's audio diary and why he's running throughout the programme. But first, some marathon facts.
£110 million have been raised for charity. In 1991, a man celebrating his birthday ran with a cake on his head.
I'm about to go out for a run in a minute, lunchtime, and I'm going to go out and run about 40 minutes. I've just had a week skiing, but generally feeling okay, quite looking forward to going for a bit of a run. Anyway, off for a run, and I'll report back in a little while.
Hi, Nick.
Hello, Tim. Come in.
Thank you.
With only 3 weeks to go to the marathon, I went to visit Nick at his home in Bedfordshire. I wanted to find out how he was preparing and what his fascination was with running.
I don't know what it is, really. It's one of those... It's just a strange thing. It's something... I guess it's something that I can do. I've never been really fast. I've never been the greatest at any sports, so never going to make it as a pro footballer. But running for distance is something I was always able to do, just plod out the miles. And as I get fitter, I'm just more able to do it. And then as I start doing it, I love the solitude of it. You know, sort of running through the woods, and I just love the peace and quiet of it, being out in the open air. So it's the peace and the quiet. You get your head straight, you think clearly.
Isn't there going to be a lot of pain along the way?
Well, that's hopefully what the training is all about, really. The training is about getting the pain out of the way, so that when the marathon comes along, your day is quite good. And yeah, there are some days when you're training and it really just doesn't work at all. I remember one of the long runs when I was back in January, when I was sort of starting off, got up on a Sunday morning to go for a run, and I ran about 2, and it was awful from about 2 onwards. I ended up doing about 6 miles and really struggling, and like now 6 miles is a warm-up, but you've got to go through those more difficult ones to get to the point where you enjoy it.
During the day, the 30,000 participants will lose 120,000 litres of sweat. That's enough to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Blimey, it's a bit windy. Anyway, I've just been for my run, just been around Biggleswade. Not the most exciting place to run over lunchtime, but there we go. And it was all sort of made up for, all the aches and the pains were made up for, when I get back to the gym afterwards and I was told by a very attractive lady how fit and healthy I was looking. So that made me feel good. It was good to be back, a bit of a struggle to begin with. And a bit of a problem with my shorts, and I think I should get some new ones before the elastic completely fails and I totally humiliate myself. Anyway, that was good. Good start up. Tomorrow a day off, and then running again on Thursday. Over and out.
Since the first race in 1981, 413,481 people have completed the London Marathon.
So how confident are you that you're actually going to finish this year's marathon?
I'm 100% confident that I'm going to finish. I'm less confident that I'm going to finish comfortably, but the training has been going really well. But there's quite a lot of money resting on this. I'm hoping to get raise about £1,000 for the Oasis Trust, a charity that I believe in a lot and volunteer with.
And charities have an increasingly important role to play in the marathon. I went to the offices of the Oasis Trust and spoke to their support and development officer, Joe Hill.
We're a Christian organisation, Christian charity, that works with people that are disadvantaged, either in Britain or across the world.
And why is the London Marathon particularly important to Oasis?
Because our supporters are quite adventurous, and because we're always doing something new as a charity, it can be used to inspire people, because there's such a lot of commitment involved in training for the marathon. They can really get their teeth into it, and all their friends and family can get involved as well. And we start the process of recruiting for the marathon in August, and it goes right through to collecting sponsorship money, and that can take till following June. So it's a year-long process of building up relationship with the runner.
I can't come back and tell my sponsors, well, haven't done it actually, you don't owe me any money.
So that's quite awful. There's quite a lot of pressure on.
There is a bit of pressure on, yeah, but that's good, because that helps you get out for those training runs in cold February. To pull out is not an option.
If all the finishers of the 94 marathon had come across Westminster Bridge in step, it would have collapsed. One reason why the finish was changed to the Mall in 1995.
It's Thursday the 16th of March, which means it's exactly one calendar month until I'm going to be running this year's London Marathon. I'm getting a bit nervous about it now, actually. I've done it once before and remember how tough it was. I'm a bit nervous about it, but training's been going well. I've managed not to get any injuries yet, so just get out today to run about an hour.
The Flora London Marathon provides 31,500 finishers' medals. They also provide the same amount of sandwiches.
Well, that was a great run today. I went for a bit of a run with the boss at lunchtime, which was good, because it meant we started off quite slowly and kept going quite slowly for about half an hour, until I ran off and left him, and put in a few extra miles beyond he did. I ran for about an hour, and the first half an hour was quite slow, and then felt like I really picked it up well for the last little bit, finishing off with a good sort of sprint through the main high street of Biggleswade, so that was very satisfying. Things aren't really good today, quite positive and quite enthusiastic now about long run on Saturday, which should be quite fun, I hope, if the weather's good. So, yeah, things have been going well, no aches and pains, and everything's looking up.
What is the training like?
Well, it's quite hard, really, when you to start it all off, and especially on a night like tonight, like it's a bit grey and a bit wet and a bit windy. But I've still got to go out tonight, so why don't you come out for a run with me now?
Ah. Okay. What now?
Yeah, why not?
It's a pretty crotty evening tonight. It's a bit grey skies. It's not wet underfoot anymore, but there's a bit of a drizzle going. And you get the feeling that it's pouring down with rain, you just don't want to go out for a run.
The worst part of any run is the bit from my lounge to my front door. As soon as you're outside, it's absolutely fine. Because if it's bucketing down, you just get absolutely soaked in the first 2 minutes and you can't get any better, so there's no problem. But when you get home from work and it's cold and it's wet and it's bucketing down, one of the last things you want to do is that walk from the lounge to the front door to get out the door. Once you're out the door, it's really good. When you get back, then got quite a good feeling of satisfaction, really. There's a pretty good phrase on one of the marathon memorabilia t-shirts this year, which says, sometimes it's harder to quit than to keep going. And a lot of people wouldn't really know what that means, but it's actually much better to get out and do the training run than to sit in for the evening and go to bed knowing that you haven't run.
Right, yeah, I suppose, well, that's okay for you, Nick. You've been training for a few months, but I certainly feel like quitting now. So let's go home.
All right, then. And then we were home.
Oh, your front door.
Yeah. That was fun.
Fun.
That was a good run, that. You're a bit out of breath, Tim.
Yeah, I'm feeling it a little bit, but I'm lucky I don't have to.
Did you not find that fun?
Well, no, I did find it fun. I'm just.
You wouldn't want to do it another 8 or 9 times?
No.
Fair enough.
No, I think I'll just stick to my 3 miles and.
No, fair enough then. That'll do me.
There are 76 pubs on the route. 56 will be hosting charities.
Oasis have taken over a pub, which is great thinking for a Christian charity, I reckon. They've taken over a pub about 23 miles where there's going to be a band playing. They've got a swing band there, so it's a good place for the supporters to gather around, because at 23 miles you'll need to see them.
Okay, so Sunday the 16th, marathon day. Take me through your plans for the day.
Well, the race starts at 9:30. Certainly we'll try and be at the start maybe an hour beforehand. So maybe get up about 7, have a bit of breakfast. The classic runner's breakfast is a honey sandwich, because one of the top runners used to do that, and she won a lot of races, so we all do that too.
have a few bananas, lots of water to drink, keep drinking the whole time, maybe leave the hotel, maybe about 8 o'clock, well, what, having got, you know, Vaselined up and all the important places.
The Flora London Marathon provides 68 ambulances, 23 water stations and £88 of petroleum jelly.
Vaselined up, what do you mean?
Well, when you're running that far, you have quite a lot of rubbing with your shorts can rub, and that can be a bit painful, as you can imagine, or your vest can rub, and that could also be a bit painful. And so you make sure that these sensitive areas are nice and smooth with a bit of Vaseline. So it doesn't matter, you know, the rubbing won't hurt at all.
So you're not worried about vanity on the day and smelling of petroleum jelly?
Can't really worry too much about that, although, I mean, everyone else will too. So if there is a nice-looking, you know, lady running along, then she's probably done the same thing, so it doesn't really matter.
On the route, there'll be 950 portable toilets, 3 urinal trailers, and 440 feet of urinal trough.
So, it's 8:30 on Saturday, March the 18th, and I'm about to go for the longest run I've probably done in about 5 years, which I'm going to try and run about 20 miles this morning. Probably take me about 3.5 hours, I reckon. Might be quicker if things go well, but we'll see. It's a bit grey, it's a bit overcast, which is okay. Quite looking forward to it, really, apart from the fact that it's early on a Saturday morning, and running isn't a natural thing. But going to go and see how I get on, and I'll let you know when I'm home.
710,000 bottles of water will be distributed along the course.
Well, I set off at about 8:30 this morning at breakfast time. It's now about 11:30, virtually lunchtime, and I reckon I've just run probably just short of 20 miles. I've been running for 3 hours, 2 minutes and 52 seconds, and didn't even stop to walk for a moment. Felt okay. Bit knackered, but that's not really all that surprising, I suppose. Oh, dear. So, the first couple of hours were quite alright, actually. It's about 2.5 hours when it really started getting difficult, although there was a little section between probably, say, 15 and 17 miles where I was just running against the wind, and it was boring, and it was windy, and it was hard work. But, pretty satisfying to have got it finished, anyway. Just quite weary, really. Felt okay, not too bad. My muscles are obviously really tired. I cut off a little bit that I was maybe going to do, but not too worried about that, because it's been a good long training run. So that's about it, really. Tell you what, tomorrow's rest day is going to be much needed, as is the bath I'm just about to go and get into.
What are your tactics for the race?
Well, I'm not one of these people who wants to get off to a really quick start just to get on the telly. So I'm going to get my head down and I'm going to follow that blue line for the 26.2 miles right until I come around Buckingham Palace and cross that line.
Follow the blue line for 26.2 miles. Sounds easy. But organising the marathon isn't. Course manager, Lisa Thompson.
We really ask the impossible in a way. I mean, we're asking for 26 miles of London's roads to be in pristine condition on one day in the year. We are very grateful to our borough contacts particularly. I mean, I've got contacts in all the highways departments of the boroughs which we go through, and we liaise very closely. They work with all their contractors to make sure that they know the date of the marathon, that the roads need to be clear. And what looks like a terrible mess in March by marathon day, and the week leading up to the marathon, you see crews out and they're under the cosh and they're tidying up and doing what needs to be done. And by marathon day, it's pretty good, considering London is a huge international city with masses of traffic and all the other problems that that brings. They do a pretty good job in making it safe for runners on the day.
The blue line, which exactly marks the 26.2 miles of the course, uses 300 litres of paint in a three-line stripe.
And how do you paint that blue line on there?
Well, that is an interesting exercise. We actually have to put it down in the dead of night, because there are parts of the route where the runners follow what would be against the traffic. So when we put the blue line down, we have to try and do it when there's not too much traffic on the road. So we do it at midnight on the Friday before the event.
Could you tell me who actually puts down the blue line?
We have a course measurer, Hugh Jones, who is an internationally recognised course measurer, because you have to have certain qualifications. Because it is important, if it's going to be a world record, it needs to be the exact distance, and we need to be able to prove that it is the exact distance. And he does it on his bicycle.
I had images of big rooms with computers whirring and numbers being crunched and ticker tape printing all over the place, but actually it's some guy doing it on his bike.
It's some guy doing it on his bike, which sounds basic, but actually works well.
Finally, why blue?
I suspect that when we very first started talking about the paint, it probably only came in blue. And we've never changed the colour because it works quite well. And now it's known as the blue line, so we couldn't possibly change it. But we find blue works quite well for us.
So that's why Nick's going to put his head down and follow the blue line for 26.2 miles.
Absolutely.